Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Hannon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Arco Arena. In my mind, it's surprisingly good, mostly instrumental by the Sacramento-based band Cake. No, there's no longer an Arco Arena, or at least that's not where the Kings play, if there is. I don't know. But the Grizzlies will be on the road against the Sacramento Kings tonight.
So I missed a lot while I was away, including...
I scoffed at that, and then you reminded me of all the stuff you missed. And like, you're right,
Yeah. Well, I kept up because I would go to this cafe, and I'd log on, and I'd go to the Daily Memphian, and I'd read your stuff and Drew's stuff, and according to you, I missed the best MLK game ever the best game of the season against the Cavs.
But both those things are possibly true, yeah.
Is there another contender? What is another contender for best MLK game? Did you?
I don't know. Those are both game night story column. So I was sort of flying off the handle a little bit. I don't know if those assertions are totally true.
But it was great.
But they might be true.
It was great.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of MLK games that haven't been great. Like, they're losing record, you know, still overall on those. So there's that. But, yeah, no, that game was really good. I'm struggling now to remember it. It seems like it happened a year ago.
They beat the hell out of the Suns, right?
But I wrote about it, and it was the revenge game against the Suns, and the game was quite good. And then the follow-up game against Cleveland was even better. That was a truly great – it was just a great basketball game. It was better because the Grizzlies won it. But even setting aside that, it was just a really gripping, good game.
So all that happened, and then I get home, and I get my minivan at the airport. And I'm driving home, and I turn on the radio, and I listen to the great Eric Castletine. And as the Grizzlies seem to have the win in the bag, and then Desmond Bane, the first play I hear is Desmond Bane getting stripped of the ball,
right,
and going down to defeat by the Lakers. And then you read about all this Shannon Sharpe, as you call it, Shannon Sharpe nonsense, and then they lose yesterday to the Suns. This is the ebb and flows of the season. What is this?
It's interesting. We'll see what happens tonight in Sacramento. I'm probably going to write my weekly Grizzlies column, my long form Grizzlies column. I'll probably write it tomorrow. Probably start working on it this afternoon, and we'll see what happens tonight. But there is, you know, to the degree you want to play like armchair sports psychologist, there is an interesting parallel between these two games they've lost in a row, and then the two games they lost in a row right before the 11 game winning streak. In which they both started with a national TV road game against a high-profile opponent that featured a lot of drama and noise beyond the mere basketball, and then they lose the game, and then they come out flat the next game. In both cases, they happen to be next game against the Phoenix Suns teams without Devin Booker. There's another parallel,
right,
which I don't think is meaningful, but this sense of you have this big high-profile moment with all this drama and all this stuff.
So it's the Warriors game, Christmas,
and then
the Lakers game.
So there's all this drama and all this noise, and then you lose, and then you come out flat the next day. And to me, it makes me wonder a little bit about sort of the psychology, the fiber of a young team. And maybe that's not fair, but I do wonder about that a little bit.
Well, the other parallel people have suggested is the parallel between going to New York and going to L.A.
There is something about that.
And that. And whether you enjoy the nightlife in those places. Because
when I was watching the Laker game, I was I'm certain not alone, but I was thinking that very thing. It was like, they must have had a good time last night in L.A.
Whereas the Golden State game was just, they were just punked. Like that was not, they had been out partying in San Francisco.
They built up what was already a big moment, and then they didn't respond to it.
Came out flat.
Yeah.
In that one, they are now 20-3 at home, 11-12 on the road. Jeffrey went through a bunch of the road records of other teams in the West, and none of them are great.
Which is unusual. I wrote about this at one point earlier in the season, and I'll have to go back and relook it up. I want to say what I found was of the last 10 teams to make the NBA Finals, one from each conference the last 5 years, the only one that had a losing road record was the Miami Heat, and that was in the bubble. It's like a fifth seed or whatever. So typically, like, if you're going to go to the NBA Finals, you're not going to be a team that's struggling like this on the road. To your point, someone from the West has to go to the NBA Finals, and no one's doing great on the road right now.
Is that a further sign that the Grizzlies happen to be in second in the West? And maybe because they're marginally healthier, there's been injuries everywhere. Maybe it's because they're marginally more motivated game in, game out to prove themselves than some veteran teams. In other words, is it just that none of these teams are particularly dominant teams? Dominant teams win at home and win on the road. These are all good teams, or a lot of them are good teams, and so they win at home and they don't win on the road, and it's a muddle.
When you think about over the last 20 years or whatever, the recent generation of basketball, the teams in the West that have come out of the finals, you think about the Shaq and Kobe teams, the Kobe and Powell teams. You think about the Steph Curry Warriors teams, both with and without Kevin Durant. You think about all the different Tony Parker. I can't believe I said Tony Parker first. I apologize to the basketball gods. All the different Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Spurs teams in various combinations over the years. None of the teams in the West are the caliber of those teams, including your Memphis Grizzlies right now, including the Denver Nuggets, who I picked to come out of the West. Those teams are not the caliber of those teams. That is certainly true, I think.
Is it as they did what they did during that 11-game winning streak and what they did to Phoenix and looking like everything was coming together, were we starting to think, not that this team was those teams, but that were we starting to think that this team is, I don't know, like it's very clearly one of the two favorites to come out of the West? Were we starting to think differently about them because of that body of work that they were assembling?
I think there's such a separation in the regular season between Denver, Memphis, and the rest of the conference. I think we were thinking that. I was still, and I keep waiting for Golden State to sort of put it together, and I think there's still time. I still think the Warriors, come playoff time, if they're whole, I put not too far behind them, assuming that they get into the top six and their seeding is decent, especially if they can get up in the top three or four. But the other thing I would say about the Grizzlies, and I don't know if in your absence you got around in my mailbag column, I would certainly forgive you if you hadn't, because it's like, 3,000 words. but my lead, the question that I took as I used as the lead item was about, would it be unusual, would the Grizzlies' youth be unusual for a team that wins the title? And the answer is very, very much so.
Yeah.
And so, They're still ahead of schedule, and maybe that sounds like an excuse, but it's just true. Like, there's never, I looked at, so John Morant's 23. How many players age 23 or younger have been the true best player, the lead guy on a title team? And the answer is you can count it on one hand. And then the second and third best players on this team, however you want to order it, Jaren Jackson's 23, Desmond Bane's 24. That's a combined 70 years old of your three top players. How many teams that young have ever won a title with their top three players that young? The answer is one, maybe. And so
maybe
there's a Spurs team that one of the Spurs teams that won. Tim Duncan was 26. This is Tim Duncan's second title. He was 26. Tony Parker was 20, which really a thumb on the scale. And then, it depends on who you want to say the third best player on that team. Historically, you would say Manu Ginobili, but if you actually look at that team that year, it was Steven Jackson, who was 24. So that team was also 70. But Tim Duncan was 26 winning the second title.
Right.
So effectively, they were not as young as this team. And so the answer is nobody. Nobody's ever won a title with a core this young. And so that's one of the reasons why I still, I sort of think Denver is more likely. Denver fits the paradigm more. Nikola Jokic is 26, Maybe he's 27. I think he's 27. Aaron Gordon's 27. Jamal Murray's 25.
Right.
That is more typical, right, of the teams that break through.
This gets to, we were talking about expectations. At what point the teams that are on the rise, at what point does the fan base and the national conversation start to be, what's wrong with this team? It can't break through. And in some ways it doesn't matter. That's just noise one way or another. It doesn't really matter. What matters more is the patience of the front office. At what point you should actually be winning a title, at what point they decide to go all in. But it is interesting that given that they are so much ahead of schedule,
what if the schedule
historically does the schedule change because they're already here?
Or does the schedule might change, but maybe the schedule catches up with you before you ever break all the way through, right?
Well, that
is more likely to be the case. We'll see. And so, again, we'll see on this. I mean, what I would look for is last season they fell short of their seeding. To me, it was not a big deal, given how young they are, given the series they had against the Warriors, given all the injury and COVID and all the other issues. Like, I thought they acquitted themselves fine, even though they were the 2 seed and they lost in the second round. So where are they going to end up? They're going to be the 1 or the 2. And where are they going to hit relative to their seeding, right? And so if they're, let's say they're the 2 seed and they lose in the conference finals to a 1 seed Denver in a competitive series, like, I'm not going to think anything of that. What if they're the 2 seed again and they lose in the second round again, right? And then it's 2 years in a row where you fell short of your seeding. I think that would be a cause for legitimate disappointment. Now, would that be a cause for, like, you know, you got to blow it up? Oh, no, it wouldn't for me. And so I would, all this depends on how things actually happen.
Of course.
But I would preach general patience. I would look at a team like, you know, like the Boston team that broke through last year. That team, even though they were young, that team did not have, you know, Zach Kleiman said at one point, you know, progress is not always linear. Well, that's true. You look at the Boston team, that's true. You look at, you know, this Denver team that was in the conference finals like 2 years ago, and then they hit back. I don't think – my expectation is not a straight line up for this team. And so, you know, which is not to say that if you fall short again, you don't take a look at your team and maybe shake it up a little bit.
But I actually think the front office will be patient.
No, I agree.
Don't know that the all fans
But to
will
me,
be
yes. this core, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, inner core, I have a lot of faith in that as a long-term proposition, and I think the front office should and will have a lot of faith in that as a long-term proposition, regardless of how far it goes this season.
It is interesting, though. Like, this – normally, I'm just saying this off the top of my head. Over the last 15 years, if the 2 seed were to stumble in the first or second round, that's surprising in the NBA. The NBA playoffs tend to be sort of predictable is my general feeling.
I have to go
feeling.
Back and look, but I don't
– And know. I like, is there a team that, like, first round, you know, like, I don't know who the Grizzlies are. Right now they could get Golden State in the first round.
Yes.
Like, you could get Golden State in the first round. You could get Phoenix in the second round. You could get, like, they could easily lose in the first or second round.
I assume nothing about the playoffs. Nothing about the Grizzlies' success in the playoffs. They could win a title. They could lose in the first round. And neither of those developments would be shocking to me.
Yeah.
And so I assume nothing. We'll see where they're at, who they get, what the draw is, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sacramento tonight. Sacramento's
up to third.
Light the beam. Tell people what light the beam means.
I'm not even entirely
Where's
sure
where it comes from.
I don't even know it's technically whether it's in the arena, outside the arena. I don't even know. Do you know the answer to that,
Jeffrey? Do you know the light the beam story?
I thought it was at the like one of the backsides of the arena.
Okay, so it's outside, but it's an actual beam that they light when they win
a game. It's like hang the flag. It's flag.
Light the beam. So they light the beam we could light the bridge or whatever when the Grizzlies win. But the Kings, man, the Kings are third in the West. I thought they were going to be a play-in team. I had a heavy over on the Kings to the degree that I do that stuff. Yeah. I had a heavy over on the Kings. I was a big believer in the Kings. I didn't think they were going to be third in the West, and that's partly about the West. But, like, they're good.
Who do you think sits out tonight?
I haven't seen injury reports for anybody, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. It's second night of a back-to-back.
That's the thing.
Now they have, you know, they got past that with Jaren. They got past that with Desmond. And so it's a theoretical matter. They're not automatically sitting anybody.
It's on top of the arena, by the way.
Okay. And so that doesn't mean that they won't decide to sit somebody in this game, but it is not. It's no longer ingrained in their strategy for any of these players on back-to-backs.
All right. Moving on, you were at the Lisa Marie. You covered the Lisa Marie Memorial Service yesterday. And I was really struck in the piece that you wrote that there's the lyrics of one song that
her debut single, her lone top 40 hit.
It's her lone top 40 hit and her debut single.
Yep.
But she didn't want to write this. What's it called?
It's called Lights Out. And, you know, it was whoever the producer of the album was like, you should write something about, like, you know, about being Lisa Marie Presley and about all that. And she didn't want to do it. And they wanted her to do it. Obviously, they wanted her to do it. And she, in an interview from the time, a newspaper interview from the time, she said something, I have the quote on there, but she said something like, you know, I wrote out the whole thing like in 30 minutes, sort of right. angrily or, you know,
right.
resisting the whole time. But to me, it's a very, like, blunt, truthful
oh
kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Listen to the lyrics here. You quoted them, and people can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Someone turned the lights out there in Memphis. That's where my family's buried and gone. Last time I was there, I noticed a space left next to them there in Memphis in the damn back lawn.
Yep.
Her space.
Yeah. And she had written about this ruefully in her own record. Had acknowledged this ruefully. And obviously over the years, it wasn't like, you know, like her son died 2 years ago and her son is there. And so it's not so, like.
Yeah, it sounds like this was resentful and angry a little bit about it. But she obviously decided,
is
the point you made, that she decided to bury her son there.
Yes.
And she decided that she should be buried.
And thus herself and has embraced this as her family legacy, even though she was sort of rueful about it at that point. And so I don't see those things as a conflict, but I think it's interesting. To me, if you're aware of that song, as I was, that chorus was sort of inescapable in the moment
right.
that this is happening. Yeah.
And what was the scene yesterday?
It was very cold. It was cold and damp. They had a tent set up. The actual memorial happened under a tent right in front of the house. So you have the driveway that goes up past the front door. So right on the other side of that driveway, they had the tent set up with the stage and for the family and friends who were like actual participants in the memorial. I don't know. I'm bad at eyeballing estimates, but
right.
100 or 200 people maybe there. Then they had media risers behind that for media covering it. And then they had a rope on the other side of the driveway going all the way down to the gate, a rope set up for public people. The public was invited, but they had to stay behind the rope. And there was at least 1,000. I don't know. Maybe it was thousands plural, but I would say at least 1,000.
How much media was 1,000. There? Just local? It was a national
media? No, there was a lot. There was like, you know, CNN and Fox, and there was some Australian stuff. And
right.
Yeah, no, there was some national and international media.
And who were the celebrities who were there, the recognizable names?
In terms of who participated in the memorial, Sarah Ferguson, I was corrected by one of our editors that they lose their last names when they become royalty. I don't understand any of that stuff. I wrote it Sarah Ferguson. It's no, she doesn't have a last name anymore. She's Sarah
She's
blah,
the
blah,
Duchess
blah.
Of York.
Whatever. She was there and spoke. And then Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses, Alanis Morissette, and Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins, all three performed musically. Beyond that, in terms of trying to eyeball, like, as people right. come in, like, you know, I recognized, you know, Jim Strickland and Steve Cohen, and I recognized Baz Luhrmann, who directed the movie, and Austin Butler, who stars in the recent movie. Beyond that, there wasn't a lot of, like, random celebrity sightings, if you care about
and that. And then the thousand or thousands or whatever it was of people who were there, do you get the sense these are just, they were Elvis fans, or these were Memphis? Do you have any sense, like, who...
I didn't go do Man on the Street right, interviews. Yeah. I hate Man on the Street interviews. I hate taking a random quote from someone
right.
and
making it
and asserting that it represents right. whatever.
No, I just wondered, looking around, was it an older crowd? Was it?
It was not as old of a crowd as the Candlelight Vigil crowd. I didn't think. No. And so I think a mix. I think Elvis fandom was part of that, but I think it was general. People love celebrity. People just love celebrity, and they love, you know, when a celebrity dies, people get way more interested in that celebrity than they ever were when they were alive.
Right.
And that happens across the board, right?
Well, and then to have a celebrity who you knew as a it's like the Kennedys, you know, it's a little bit, there's an element of that.
There's
we
an American royalty
the American
aspect
on the, on the front lawn of the White House kind of thing.
Right.
Easter egg hunts or something, and then they die in a,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.